As good Catholics, we know that the Holy Mass is a very important part of our faith. It's not only an important part of the doctrine that we believe, but it also lies at the center of how we practice our faith. Our faith requires us to attend Mass every Sunday, and this is such an important necessity that the Church imposes this duty under pain of mortal sin every single week. And it's important for us to understand why this is the case and also what happens in Mass. Of course, the mystery of the Holy Mass is something we can never completely understand. We can only look at one aspect of it at a time because it is so rich in meaning. But I wanted to talk today about the intercession that our Lord offers for us in the Holy Mass every time it is offered. St. John said in his epistle, "We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the just, and he is the propitiation for our sins." What a consoling thought it is that our future judge is in fact praying for us in the Mass. The Jesuit theologian Suarez said, "As often as the sacrifice of the Mass is offered, so often does Christ plead for those who offer it and for those for whom it is offered." So this includes the person for whom the Mass is being said and also the people who attend. St. Lawrence Justinian goes into a little more detail. He says, "When Christ is spiritually slain upon the altar, he calls upon his heavenly Father. He shows him his wounds, that in virtue of his earnest supplication, man may escape eternal damnation." And this is a very consoling thought because we are all afraid of eternal damnation. Or if we aren't, we should be. And he tells us here that in every Mass, our Lord offers his wounds to his Father and asks for us to be saved. Of course, during his lifetime on earth, our Lord prayed for us very, very much. He sometimes spent the whole night praying and watching on our behalf. St. Luke says, "He went out into a mountain to pray, and he passed the whole night in the prayer of God." That's in the Gospel. This is something that our Lord did all the time, and we know this because in another place, in St. Luke's Gospel, it says, "In the daytime, he was teaching in the temple, but at night going out, he abode in the mount that is called Olivet." And this is where our Lord loved to pray. In fact, that is where he was when he was arrested at the beginning of his passion. Again, praying for us when he was arrested. And then in another chapter, St. Luke says that our Lord went out according to his custom to the Mount of Olives, meaning that he went there all the time. That was his custom. During these long nights in prayer in his life on earth, what was our Lord praying for? St. Ambrose gives a very simple answer to this question. He says, "Not for himself did the Lord ask anything, but for me." And of course, it wasn't only St. Ambrose, but it was each one of us that our Lord was praying for during those long nights. He was praying that we would be saved from eternal damnation. And our Lord knew how many millions of souls would eventually be lost in spite of everything he did for them. And we can just imagine with what anguish and what burning words he poured forth to his Father for mankind. And these prayers that our Lord said when he was on earth, he renews them and he repeats them in every Mass that is celebrated. He places all of them again before his heavenly Father. And he places in front of him also all of the suffering and labors that he went through on earth for our salvation. And he offers all these things for the salvation of the whole world, of course, but he offers them in particular for the salvation of each person that is present at Mass. We should just try to imagine the power and the efficacy that these prayers have that our Lord is offering on our behalf every time we attend Mass. But our Lord doesn't only pray for us during Mass. In fact, He sacrifices Himself to God on the altar on our behalf also. He does this by presenting His death again in the mystical separation of His body and blood that happens on the altar by the separate consecration of the bread and wine. We can never fully comprehend the power of this sacrifice. There's a beautiful story of Saint Gertrude that one day she was at Mass, and at the elevation she saw our Lord with her own hands raising up His heart in the form of a golden chalice and offering Himself for His church in a beautiful and inexpressible manner. And this happens in every Mass. This wasn't only just one vision that she had. She was given a glimpse of what was happening there. We should remember also that when our Lord offers Himself up in Mass, He does so not only in all of the glory of His divine majesty, but He does it in a state of great humility and abasement. He is in the form under the appearance of bread and wine. He is even in the tiniest particle that breaks off of the host. And it is in this extremely humble form He speaks from the altar to His Heavenly Father. And His voice is so powerful in heaven, even though we can't hear it with our ears. But we know by faith, and His voice calls down the mercy of God upon the world, and especially, most of all, on the people attending that ceremony of the Mass. In the book of Jonas, we read that when Jonas preached to the Ninevites that the city would be destroyed, the king of the city came off his throne, and he put away his royal garments, and he did penance in sackcloth and ashes. And his humility and penance were pleasing to God, and he and his whole city were forgiven of their sins. So if even this pagan king, who converted at the preaching of Jonas, could draw down God's mercy by humbling himself and putting on the appearance of humility, how much more so can our Lord call down mercy upon us by placing Himself under the humble appearances of bread and wine? He tells His Father that in this humble state, He is asking for mercy for His poor creatures who have sinned against Him and do not deserve mercy, but our Lord is asking for mercy for us. When we attend Mass, we should think about this, that our Lord is asking for our salvation. And He is asking not only with words, but as I said, He is offering His own life in order for us to be forgiven of our sins and ultimately to be saved. We should have confidence in His sacrifice for us and in the grace that He can obtain for us through this holy sacrifice. And all we have to do is attend Mass with love and fervor. We see in the Gospels that when our Lord was nailed to the cross, He commended to His Father the people that stood at the cross with Him. He applied to them all of the fruits of His passion and His suffering. He even promised the dying thief at His right hand that He would be in heaven that same day. And the first words out of our Lord's mouth when He was nailed to the cross was to pray for even His enemies that were surrounding Him on Mount Calvary, the evil Pharisees who were mocking Him and the Roman soldiers who were torturing Him. He prayed for forgiveness for those evil people. So if our Lord would pray even for His enemies as He is nailed to the cross, people who are there only to gloat over His pain and increase it as much as they could, how much more so will He pray for people who are surrounding His mystical death on the altar and who are there out of love for him and with devotion. So all of these things should motivate us to come to Mass as often as we can. And even if we can't come as often as we would like, if we can only come on Sunday, we should make the most of each time that we can make it. When we are kneeling at Mass, we should try to see the spiritual reality that is taking place right in front of us. We should imagine ourselves on Mount Calvary at our Lord's crucifixion, kneeling at the foot of the cross, where our Lord is hanging by the three nails, and his head is crowned with thorns, and he is bleeding out of every square inch of his body, and he is suffering all of this for our salvation. Thinking about this is not a mental exercise or some trick of the mind to arouse ourselves to greater fervor. No, this is simply understanding the reality that is taking place right in front of us in Mass. On the contrary, the people who are distracted and indifferent during Mass really are the ones who are deluded, who are mistaken about what is going on. The people who think that Mass is a waste of time and something that they're not interested in are the ones who are completely wrong. They need to see by the eyes of faith the great mystery and power and beauty of every Holy Mass. Very often we complain that it's hard for us to pray and focus on God in our prayers. We all have this problem. But if we go to Mass, our Lord on the altar is praying for us. He is making up for what is wanting in our prayers. And he encourages us to come. He says, "Come to me, all you that labor and are burdened, and I will refresh you." And what a great labor it is, of course, to practice a life of virtue and prayer. It's very difficult to live by faith. But our Lord said we should come to him and he would make it easier for us. We should listen to this invitation and come to Mass with love and an understanding of what is going on. When we have misfortunes and problems, we always go to our fellow creatures, our fellow man, to get some kind of help from them, either a solution to our problem or at least some sort of encouragement or consolation. But if we put so much trust and confidence in our fellow man to help us with our problems, how much more trust should we put in our Lord? This is especially true when we have spiritual problems, like habits of sin that we can't overcome. We can't make progress in some virtue that we need. One time the apostles came to our Lord and said, "Who then can be saved?" And our Lord said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God." So it's impossible for us to make ourselves worthy of our salvation. But God is able to help us with that. So we should take refuge in the holy sacrifice of the Mass from all the dangers that surround us in this evil and sinful world. And our Lord will intercede for us and he will protect us. All we have to do is assist at Mass and unite our poor and humble prayers with his infinite and almighty prayers. And if our prayers are united to his, they will be very, very pleasing to God. In fact, they will be more powerful than any prayers we could ever say on our own. There was a holy bishop who once said, "The prayers said at Mass, offered in union with the holy sacrifice, have infinitely more value than any other prayers, however long, however fervent. More even than ecstatic contemplations. And this is because of the merits of Christ's passion, the power of which is manifested in Holy Mass by a superabundance of heavenly gifts and graces." So if we unite our prayers with the perfect prayers of our Lord, they will become pleasing to God, however cheap and poor they may be in themselves. So let us make the Mass the center of our spiritual life, as it should be, and trust in the mercy of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.